Good morning. Delusions are a real thing. Currently, I'm taking a class in neuroscience that studies brain damage. Apart from some of the unfortunate situations that brain damaged patients find themselves in, there is a lot that I see that is interesting about brain impairments. And what I've noticed is that there are people who carry symptoms of someone with brain damage, even though they have not been diagnosed. I mean, ever since I was young, up to now, I have had friends who were unclinically delusional. I'll give you an example. I had a friend named Jared Griffin. It's difficult to really describe Jared. He was that kid in your high school who believed that everything he did was solid gold. He had this belief that wearing baggy retro NBA jerseys over the school uniform with sunshades that were really 3D glasses was just the hottest thing ever. I remember being curious about his personality, like, why does he think that these things are cool? And when people would ask him about his attire, he would tell them that he was trying to create a fashion. And since everyone around the school wanted to be like him, everyone would start wearing the same thing. What Jared failed to realize was that no one, and I mean no one, wanted to be like him. My first encounter with Jared was in our freshman year of high school, and I remember him coming to me talking about a girl. FYI, she was probably one of the most attractive people in the high school. But Jared was under the assumption, or belief rather, that he had this obsession, that she had an obsession with him. So he sat with me one day plotting his next move, and he was plotting how he would make her bow before him to get his number. I didn't know Jared enough to make any conjectures at the time, but based on his appearance and his below average IQ level, I found it highly unlikely that he had this sort of influence. So this is what transpired from there. He takes me with him to approach this girl. And before we even approach her, he turns to me and says, "I'm going to teach you how to make a girl beg for your number." I'm dying on the inside because I can't believe this is real. Like, this guy really believes this. This is how the conversation went between the girl and him. "Hey," Jared says. The girl responds, "Hello? Why are you acting shy now?" Jared says. The girl responds, "Who are you again?" What my high school classmate Jared suffered from was a delusional superiority complex. Delusional superiority is a great way of describing someone who regards themselves as better than others, regardless of the statistics or the facts that state otherwise. But Jared went through high school unscathed by others' perceptions and continued to wear the most ridiculous attire I have ever seen in the history of mankind. What's most interesting about Jared's story is how he refused to change his ways. If he were to believe that there was a different way to dressing and talking to women, of course, I'm pretty sure he would have been all right. But we know that deceiving oneself is not just a Jared Griffin thing. Many of us have these delusions of ourselves, especially when it comes to relationships with others. In the case of this ancient Jewish text, we see the same sort of idea. We have Jesus in dialogue with his Jewish fellows, talking about identity, truth, and most importantly, freedom. What seems to have occurred in the background of this text is that there was a belief system that confused these delusions that formed these delusions within its constituents. The one belief that Jesus is attempting to unravel is the belief that one is free from the repercussions of being human just because you have an inheritance in Abraham. We are Abraham's children. We've never been anyone's slaves. How can you say that we'll be set free? That's the argument of Jesus' dialogue partner. It is clear that Jesus has provoked something out of him, or them. He is illuminating their delusion. But what are they angry about? Could it be that the truth really hurts? That they are prone to greed? Prone to do harm to others? Prone to watch the suffering of others with contentment? Or could they be angry because this is the first time that someone has confronted them about their identity and their views of themselves as better than the rest? The delusional superiority complex. But Jesus responds I assure you that everyone who is sin is a slave to sin. A slave isn't a permanent member of the household, but a son is. Therefore, the son makes you free. You will really be free. This issue of freedom and slavery is a major deal. In fact, these words are loaded if we are thinking in the context of Jews constantly under the regime of other nations. The slavery to the Egyptians and the special emphasis in the ancient Jewish community on a future kingdom that will reign forever. This is not just a heated debate between two political parties. This is war language. This is the language that eventually gets Jesus killed. But why did it have to get to this point? Why couldn't Jesus' opposition just walk off and ignore the comments? And ignore the comments of Jesus if he knew he was free? It's hard to talk about freedom without talking about slavery first. Slavery is always a haunting memory in any free person's mind. It is a past that's hard to forget. If we think about our own past as Americans, it's hard to get over the looming past, the looming ghost of yesterday's slavery. We still see it in glimpses today. For some reason, we thought it would go away with our material accumulation and technological advancement. But our resources and our slavish fixation on technology has only worked against us to make clear our problem. One serious discussion that has been going on in our public sphere has been centered on identity, the one provoked in the Black Lives Matter slogan. This discussion is not about who is a child of Abraham, but about being human. Recently, the debate has been, why can't we just say all lives matter? I find this discussion amusing because the American delusional superiority complex is starting to have its effect in the conversation. The reason why we want to move the conversation from Black Lives Matter to All Lives Matter is because, one, we believe that Black Lives Matter is some sort of reverse racism, as if that was actually possible. And secondly, by the moving the conversation away from Black Lives Matter to All Lives Matter, we think that we can bury the past of slavery as if it never happened, because it reminds us of our enslavement to race. But what I find most attractive about the Black Lives Matter statement, apart from being black myself, is that it's direct and provocative. It's not ambiguous like other past movements. It reminds me of the way Jesus puts the mirror to his opponents to remind them that they are still slaves. The Black Lives Matter statement reminds us that as much as we may live under the delusion that we are people working together, which is the suggestion of the Black All Lives Matter statement, we are still slaves, and we hate that this is the case. In many ways, it reminds me of Martin Luther and his 95 Theses. I guess it's safe to say that his movement definitely took off, judging by how many Protestant churches we have today. But what's most inspirational about Martin Luther was his attempt through provocative text to remind the Catholic Church that they are not living in their true identity and that they are still slaves to corruption. So we have these illustrations of dialogue about identity and freedom. The question becomes now, how can we truly be free? What must we do with our identity to live in freedom? I believe Jesus gave the answer in the early portion of this dialogue between him and his Jewish fellow when he said, "Remain faithful to my teaching. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Truth. Truth. That's the answer. Remaining faithful to Jesus' teaching and the truth in those teachings about giving to the poor and serving the poor. Loving others as you love yourself. Laying down your life for your enemy will lead us to a freedom. When we find ourselves bound to do otherwise, we must embrace the moments when the world has entered in the dialogue with us to question our identity and to remind us that we are all humans and that we have to get over this delusional superiority complex. We all walk through this world together with these unknown forces that oppress us to the point of enslavement. We don't see it, but we know it's there and it's present among us. The reason we are here today together on a Reformation Sunday is because we have all experienced those moments of truth where we felt the hidden enslavement, and we want to break away from the delusion that somehow we are free by our own autonomous superiority or by some more mere inheritance that we had and others don't. Somehow Jesus' teachings has reminded us that even though the Egyptian slavery of yesterday is looming among us, there is hope in the provocative truth of Jesus that serves as a window into the future of freedom. One of the most beautiful Negro spirituals written is a song entitled, O Freedom, that was written after the American Civil War of 1865. But it became known in its use of the civil rights movement. And the lyrics go like this: O freedom, O freedom, O freedom over me. And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. What's so powerful about this statement is this resistance to being a slave. The writer is saying that he would rather die than become a slave. He has experienced freedom and he would rather die in his true identity that Jesus has called him to rather than the oppression of slavery. The story that we are great people and we are reasonable is a delusional superiority complex that has impaired America. But Jesus offers a freedom from that narrative, from that identity complex, through his practical, very practical practices. And we all know that whomever the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Amen.
There'll be singing, They'll be singing. They'll be singing over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. There'll be glory. There'll be glory. There'll be glory over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my sweet Lord.